This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car review show here on BFM. I'm sat in the studio, actually in a studio, with Arif Ruz, the man with the news right now.
Yeah, it's been so long, Richard.
It's been so long that he's grown a beard. And I'm not even joking, he's got a beard.
It's my first beard in my entire life.
Well, there you go. And on the phone somewhere else is Daniel Fernandez. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, guys, and I'm sorry I can't be in the studio with you guys, but security in your building will not let me in.
Are you surprised? We've all seen what you look like.
Exactly.
But it is physical distancing, of course. We have to keep it like this. Today's show is going to be a little different. We started not too long ago where we were talking about used cars.
Yep.
We're going to have a used car buying guide for a particular car. It's the 2008 Jaguar XF 3.0 X250. Very, very specific.
Yes, this is the Jaguar that that changed it for Jaguar.
Oh, is
this
it?
This is the Jaguar that made people stop calling it a Jag. You know, this is a Jaguar.
They went Jaguar.
Yes.
So, okay, well, tell me more about it then.
So, as mentioned, today we are going to be discussing the Jaguar XF, and this specific version is the Mark 1, also known as internally as the X250. So these were the model years from 2007 to 2015. And like I mentioned earlier, this is the first Jaguar to be called a Jaguar, not a Jag. This actually was the first Jaguar that was built when it was owned by Tata, the Indian company Tata. And it later weirdly became known to be one of the more reliable Jaguars out there with its better reliability, better technology, and fit and finish. But a lot of these...
I really wonder why.
I feel as though I'm being personally attacked here.
No, but you guys, you must understand this. Nothing personal, Richard, but can you understand this? UK were famous for building great cars, right?
Uh-huh.
You had the Jaguar, you had Ford, you had, you know...
Tread carefully here.
You know, British Leyland, you had MG Rover, and so many other brands which I will not mention right now, like TVR, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then comes along this little Indian company. They buy over Jaguar and Land Rover, and suddenly the cars are reliable. I mean,
right.
Well, that is some part of the story. They were involved in all the productions, but a lot of the design was based on a Ford Mondeo, a European Ford Mondeo.
Ford Mondeo.
Yes. So the chassis of this specific Jaguar XF, it was actually based on a Ford Mondeo, and they had to elongate that chassis by like a couple of millimeters or inches. I don't know, but basically it was slightly modified. And then even the engine, the 3-liter V6 engine that we are going to be talking about today as well, is actually a Ford engine. And they just upgraded the cams and added a few bolt-ons here and there to make quite a reasonable amount of horsepower.
And make it reliable.
Yes. But the big thing about this Jag XF, as I mentioned, is sort of a coming of age, a new age Jaguar. So they took the designer of a lot of previous Fords as well, and a bunch of beautiful Aston Martins, which is Ian Callum. Ian Callum is known for designing the Aston Martin Vanquish, the DB9, the DB7. He's known for designing the Ford Escort, the RS200, a bunch of UK-made-only cars as well, and they're all legendary vehicles. So he's a big guy.
And he's British, right?
Scottish.
Yes. Oh, he's Scottish. Ah!
You got it there.
Yeah.
Well, British, technically, but not English.
Not English,
okay,
yes.
I'll take that.
And, you know, after 12 years since this car came out, it's 2020 now, the car first came out in 2007, it hasn't aged. It still looks brand new, and I think a lot of people will agree with that.
It's a very nice, clean shape. It's almost like an evergreen shape.
Yeah, it could easily be launched today and still people will call it beautiful.
Correct.
Inside, though, they did quite a lot of different things in there. So back in 2007, there were no such things as, gear levers that you could click into place like they have now. You had to roll through the automatic gearbox. But this one had a rise-up gear...
Rotary dial.
Yeah. And it would, when you start the car, it would seemingly rise from the center console. And it was special. It made you feel like you were in a spaceship of some sort.
Exactly. And you know what's even amazing? When you started the car, not only did the gear lever rise up, that rotary dial rise up, but the air conditioning vents will also flip and open up.
When your car is off, you don't see any aircon vents in the car, but when the car is on, it's there. Something else they debuted in this car as well that I actually never realized could have been an industry first, which is touch-sensitive buttons. So you don't actually have to press the buttons. You just put your finger on it and move it to one side to turn the aircon to move a certain way or something like that. But, you know, this Jag XF, surprisingly, is still quite the sturdy, reliable car because of all the Ford parts. But it was actually Jaguar's first steps towards probably competing with BMW and Mercedes, because back then, I think people referred to these Jaguars, the S-Type and the X-Type, and marketed against the Volvos of that similar time. They weren't really 5-series competitors, but this was the first one.
Yeah, the problem is because the earlier XF was also based on a Ford Mondeo, but it was based on an older Ford Mondeo. It had a very weak engine, but of course, it had a traditional Jaguar look with the twin round lights, sloping nose, and then, you know, the very famous leaping cat, which Jaguar did not have because of pedestrian safety. So there were a lot of people who gravitated towards the older Jaguars, but at the time, they called them the poor man's Jaguar. And in Malaysia, they sold quite a few.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of them came in the 3-liter V6 form, which, you know, big engine, not much power, but that was kind of the thing back in the day.
Yes, and they also had all-wheel drive.
Yeah, yeah. The car, you could also back then get a Jag with a lot of diesels. Being British, everything's diesels. You also could get, like I mentioned, a 3-liter V6. You could get a 4.2-liter V8, something that we don't really hear these days, a V8.
Right. Well, I mean, you would hear it. You just don't hear it.
Yeah. And then in 2009, they launched the XFR, which is supposed to go against the BMW M5, and it had a 5-liter supercharged V8. And, you know, typically with all of these brands, you would probably say, yeah, it's got big engines, but you wouldn't think that it would drive well. But this Jag, when it was launched, everybody was lauding it for being perhaps the best driving executive saloon there is, even better than the BMW, which, you know, disappoints me. But yeah, this car was surprisingly known for its driving characteristics. It was more stable than the BMW. It was sharper to drive, and it rode definitely better because the BMW always rode too harsh. And perhaps the downside of this Jag, I know we've been talking about everything so positive about the Jag, but the downside of this is it's not as refined as the Mercedes E-Class or the BMW 5 Series. And that's generally always been the case between back then and today as well.
Something we'll get onto a little bit later on, though, is it had quite a few recalls, didn't it?
Yeah.
It had plenty of recalls. But, you know, the recalls were all understandable because at that time, also, other brands were having recalls.
It's not
just the Jaguar that had recall, because, you know, owned by, you know, Indian company, you don't have to say that. But also the other luxury brands were also having recalls.
Yeah. Mm. Anything else you want to add about this car, Daniel?
Okay, I want to say this. Number one, when this car was first launched, the price, the asking price, was a very high 488,000 ringgit. That was 12 years ago.
Damn.
And then in 2013, which was just 5 years later, they had a facelift launch. And the facelift launch, which was also brought in, the first time it came out was also Sisma Auto, which were the original Jag importers in Malaysia for the longest time. And then when the facelift came out in 2012, 2013, the XF cost 388,000 ringgit. So the price dropped quite a bit, which was a big surprise for a lot of Malaysians because the tax system was still the same. The exchange rate with the English pound was still the same. But what happened is at the factory itself, they were trying very hard to make this car more popular globally. So they gave a lot of preferential prices to emerging markets like ourselves to get people to come into showrooms and take home a Jaguar. But sadly, not enough people took home a Jaguar. I still remember when they launched the car, they gave a 3-year 100-kilometer warranty. They gave a 3-year 80-kilometer scheduled service and maintenance, plus a 3-year nationwide roadside assistance breakdown. Now, at that time, the other brands were not really doing this, but Jaguar in Malaysia was trying very hard to build back a confidence in the Malaysian public to own a Jaguar. Mm.
It's worth mentioning also that it seemed like a lot of the recalls that Richard mentioned occurred in the pre-facelift models. And when Jaguar, I guess, slashed the price of this car along with the facelift, And they introduced a bunch of new engines as well. It seemed like nobody just really wanted to buy one.
That's the thing. You know, also the problem is when the first model was launched, by the time the facelift came out, the second-hand car market had already dropped the price by more than 50%.
Right.
So suddenly people were looking and saying, you know, I buy this new car for almost $500,000. And 5 years later, it's only 200 over 1,000 ringgit. You know, yes, the new car price has dropped, but my value is not so good, you know?
Right, on that note, we're going to wrap up and take a short break. You are tuned into Cruise Control, of course, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with Arif Ruse, and on the phone line, it's Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Stick around, we've got more stuff on the Jaguar.
Jaguar.
And, of course, an update to the used car buying guide. That's all coming up after the break. BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. In the studio with Arif Ruse.
Hello.
And on the phone is Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, guys, and hello, listeners.
And, of course, we're going to be moving on. More details about the Jaguar.
Yeah, so in the first part, we spoke a little bit about, you know, the overview of the Jaguar XF and why, despite it being a Jaguar, it doesn't break down as often as it really did back then.
Anymore.
Right, so in this part, we are going to be talking a little bit about what you should be looking for, because these cars are going for how much, Daniel?
The selling price today for a 2012 Jaguar XF is as low as 35,000 ringgit, which is shocking.
Shocking. 12 years and the car is now 10% value.
Right. And then you can get a really, I mean, that's an average condition Jaguar, but you can get a really good condition one, full service history, 3.0 litre engine V6 for 45,000 ringgit, which is about 10% of its original value.
It's crazy numbers, right?
Crazy numbers.
Just out of interest, you know, asking for a friend, how many of these would be available right now on the market, do you think, secondhand?
Okay, a couple of weeks ago when I first did this article, I did it because someone was asking me, you know, they said, hey, you know, luxury cars are going cheap right now. What do you think I should buy with my EPF money? I said, hey, you guys, you're always using your EPF money to buy luxury cars. Why don't you just go buy a nice compact car? But never mind. Then I thought to myself, let's browse and look for the, you know, the obvious choice is always German or Japanese, right?
Yeah. Right.
But then I remembered the Jaguar XF. I remember driving it in 2009, and then I drove it again in 2013, the facelift. And then five years ago, I drove the all-new XF, and I thought to myself, this is such a nice-looking car, and it's almost like an evergreen shape. So I went and did a bit of research, and there were about at least a dozen units for sale.
Yeah, I just did a search this morning, and there are a dozen.
And these are for the earlier units?
These are for the earlier units.
Right.
Why there are so many units for sale is very simple. Now, number one, generally, someone who paid 388,000 12 years ago would be someone very rich, or it would be a company purchase. I know for a fact, like Pepsi Malaysia, the MD drives a Jaguar because the XF is a company car.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, he's a lucky man because he can drive an XF and it's a company car. But not a lot of companies will take a Jaguar for a company car. But if I'm the director of the company, I'm also, say, a shareholder or it's my own company, I will say, hey, I want to drive something flash, rather good looking, and maybe I want to drive something that is a little bit unusual on the road. The Jaguar XF is where I'll go. Now, it's still sold by Sisma Auto, but now you have Jaguar Land Rover in Malaysia, the official franchise under Sime Darby Group. So you can also go to other showrooms to get your XF brand new. But when you're buying a used XF like this, yes, there's many in the market. A lot of them are with used car dealers. Used car dealers will always tell you this, king of car, one owner, professionally maintained, sure buy, best quality, accident free, full service history. This is what they tell you. But I always say this, go back to someone you know or someone you believe to be trustworthy to check the car for you. But in the case of a Jaguar XF secondhand, go back to Sisma Auto. They were the people who brought in these cars. They maintained it for the first 3 years under warranty. They will know a lot about this car. So if you're looking at a used one for, say, 45,000 ringgit, I'm sure 45,000 ringgit means you can bargain at least another 4,000 to 5,000. So that's 40,000 ringgit for an XF. It's worthwhile for you to take it to Sysma Auto or get the dealer to agree to take it to Sysma Auto, plug it into the diagnostic tool, get them to do a once-over. Even if they charge you a bit of money, pay them for it for the peace of mind. Now, when you drive that car out, that used car out, and they've given you a clean bill of health, 40,000 ringgit for something this elegant, something this beautiful looking.
Yeah.
I think it's worth all the hassle that's going to come with the ownership in the coming years. And why I say hassle, guys, because as these cars get older, the wear and tear is going to come in.
Yep.
Okay. People talk about reliability. But listen, you take a 15 or even a 10 or 12-year-old German car, you think it's going to be as reliable as an old Toyota Corolla?
No. Oh, let's ask Arif. He should know all about that.
No.
Every couple of months, you'll be visiting a reliable mechanic to get something changed or fixed. But generally, these cars, the recalls have been done. The previous owner has gone through all the headache. Mm. The previous owner has gone back to Sysma or whichever dealer to do all the little fixer-uppers. Now it's time for you to just do the maintenance. And if you do preventive maintenance, I would say this. If you buy this car for 40,000 ringgit, put aside 20% of the value, which is 8,000 ringgit, for yearly maintenance.
I would also say that because this is a car that is not actually worth 40,000 ringgit because it's a car that offers way more. I'd say it's an 80,000 ringgit car. And even though the price tag says 40,000 ringgit, you shouldn't be approaching this car as a 40,000 ringgit car because there's so many things that can be going wrong. I want to point this to a different direction slightly because I'm mainly on the question of price because this car goes against the 2007-2008 BMW 5 Series as well, which is in the used car market for a really, really crazy cheap price these days, 35,000 to 60,000 ringgit.
Right.
But the other competitor, the Mercedes E300 of the same year, is about 70,000 ringgit. Mm. So why has the Mercedes stayed or held its value better? That's the question, I guess.
Okay, if you check the used car market, among the luxury marks, Mercedes-Benz tends to be always slightly better off than the British or the other German counterparts,
yeah,
even against Volvo. And the reason is very simple. A lot of people still gravitate to the brand used because the average middle-class person might not be able to buy a brand new $400,000 E-Class. But 12 years later, when it's going for 60, 70, 80,000 ringgit, that's affordable to them. And generally, the Mercedes-Benz engineering, it's quite reliable.
Yeah.
You know, if anything goes wrong, it's mostly wear and tear, or the car has been previously abused, or the previous owner really did not take care of the car. That means he went to, you know, cheap mechanics, he used cheap parts, or for some reason he was trying to cut corners. Because if you really look after a Mercedes-Benz, especially the older ones, which in this price range and this year, they generally can go on and on and on for quite a long time with just minimal cost. Mm. But then again, if you look at this Jaguar XF, after all the recalls have been done and properly executed by the dealership, you are just looking at wear and tear. And wear and tear parts today, if you think the spare part shop is expensive, order online. It's so easy to order online. And these parts coming in from the UK are not that expensive or that more expensive than a German car from say Audi or BMW or Mercedes. So maintaining this car against maintaining a Mercedes might be almost the same at this age group. The only thing is you need a trustworthy mechanic.
Mm, that's true.
And think about it. This car new was 488,000. Today it's 40,000 ringgit. I mean, you know, you got a six-cylinder engine, 238 PS, 293 Newton meters of torque, six-speed semi-automatic gearbox. It's a very simple, standard gearbox. You got that nice rotary dial for the gearbox, which will rise up and down. So it'll impress your friends when they get into the car. The aircon vents, you know, flip up and flip down, you know, when you switch on the car. These are all things that when you get into this car, makes you feel so special. And let me not forget to remind you about the leather in this car.
Yeah, yeah.
A proper cow from the countryside died for this car.
It was mentioned in a review of this car I was reading that there is absolutely zero cloth inside this car. Everything is either leather, genuine wood, or high-end vinyl wrap plastic, which is pretty cool. Very, very cool.
Old Jaguars. I mean, new Jaguars, different story. But old Jaguars, even like this is not considered the top-end Jaguar. But, you know, when they build this car, they made sure they put in all the right kind of materials to ensure that smell, you know, when you walk into a Jaguar, even after 12 years, it smells like the British countryside, you know?
Just for fun now, I'm looking at carlist.my. You know, and there's a 2009 Jaguar XF 3-liter V6 premium new facelift, 43,000 ringgit.
How to ignore that?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. All of a sudden, I'm like, I could afford a Jaguar.
Exactly. And then imagine every time you met someone for dinner, I mean, with social distancing, of course, and you say, hey, Richard, how did you arrive? Oh, I came in my Jaguar. Instead of saying I came in my ride-hailing car.
Exactly. From Grab to Jag.
Grab to Jag, yeah. Like Grab it. Car using a Jaguar.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know we spoke a lot about the spare parts and the mechanics and assist mounter and all that stuff, but there are a lot of common problems that have come along with this Jaguar XF.
True.
13 of which are those recalls, which should have already been done. And I've looked at all of them. These were actually quite genuinely serious stuff. So Takata airbag issues, every car's got that. It had fuel delivery issues. It had power steering issues that could lock and lose your brakes as well. Right. It had faulty seat belts, which is crazy.
That's a bit scary.
That's very scary, isn't it? But the thing is, a lot of these cars affected the earlier model years, which is, you know, if you get maybe a 2010 car, you would be less likely to encounter these problems. Or
so you got to get a 2012 car to not have any problems.
Yeah. But the benefits of buying a 2009 car, obviously, is, you know, you don't have to deal
with it. You're paying 43,000 ringgit.
Yep. Yes. precisely.
And that's before bargaining.
Yeah. There are a few other things. Of course, if you do end up going to a dealer and looking at one of these cars, you need to be looking for squeaks and rattles in the interiors, especially around the windows, in the door cards and the dash, which is where things, maybe the glass might rattle a bit. Some of the seals might have worn out through time. That's pretty normal for any car, any German car, really.
Well, you know, in our roads, this is normal.
Yeah.
With all the pumps and the, you know, the holes and the manhole covers, cars will start creaking and groaning because the body just can't take it.
Yep. On top of that, typical mid-2000s electrical gremlin. So it's nothing major. It's just really, really annoying. So some owners online have reported that while they're driving, suddenly their infotainment system turns off because of a bug issue or something like that. Yeah. Typical mid-2000s European cars will always encounter tire pressure monitor issues. So your tire pressure light, warning light will turn on, but it's just the sensor that's broken.
It's just testing to see if you're awake.
Yeah.
That's all it's doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No, totally. Even like the infotainment system, when it turns off, that's because they're not listening to BFM.
Wow.
BFM, it'll definitely not turn off.
The funniest thing, you know, we were talking about that rising gear selector thing.
Yes.
That is one of the most popular broken items in this Jaguar XF. And in perhaps almost every Jaguar Land Rover product until about 2013, when they apparently finally solved that.
And the reason is because the wear and tear, it keeps, you know, something that's moving all the time will definitely have a wear and tear on it.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly turning up, turning down, turning up, turning down. And I'm sure when people first buy the car, they will keep doing it over and over just to entertain their friends.
Of course. Of course.
You know? I would.
It'd be like that thing you were talking about the Range Rover not too long ago, about the door handles.
Oh, that pop out.
That magically
they pop out, the Range Rover Vela. Yeah,
there you go.
To entertain your friends.
Yeah.
I have one final question before we close this up, I think. Because this segment of 10 to 12-year-old executive saloons, the prices are being cut all across the board. Right. They're getting really, really cheap. And some of them are pretty well taken care of them, but most of them are generally not. And all of them, like I said, are really cheap. So, and I'm asking this question to both of you. Which would you take, the Jaguar XF, the 5 Series, or a Mercedes E-Class?
For me, it's very simple. When I did this article, when I went shopping, I actually went to a few used car dealers just to look, see. Now, looking at the one that's going for 30,000, I will definitely avoid it because to start off with, it's got a lot of problems. Small problems, but enough for me to be irritated not to save that little bit of money. But if you go up a little bit more to 40,000 ringgit, you're getting one with full service history. It's got the Sysma Auto, you know, seal of approval. Why not? Now, 30,000 more, you get a Mercedes-Benz. There are so many of these Benzes on the road, you will not stand out. And people will look and say, you know, is that a $70,000 car or a $30,000 car? But if I drive a Jaguar XF 3-liter, 40,000 ringgit, most people would say, that's a $150,000 to $200,000 car you're driving.
That is true. Mm. I would definitely look at it that way.
I'm looking because at this one right now. I'm thinking it's burning. My money's burning a hole in my pocket.
Exactly. If you're not tuning into BFN and listening to the show, you'll probably see this car on the road and say, "That's a $150,000 car. It looks great, you know, but you know it's too far fetched for me to own one." But after you listen to the show and say ringgit, give me the number. I'm going to see that used car dealer.
Yes, indeed.
That's about, just to remind everybody what 40,000 ringgit is, that is the cost of a base model, well, not base model, mid-level Proton Saga. You can get a Jag XF. 4-star Euro NCAP rating.
3-litre.
3-litre V6. And a Jag.
Wow. And, you know, real leather interior.
On that note, we should probably wrap up for the day, of course. This has been Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Rich Bradbury. I've been in the studio with
Arif Roos.
And on the phone line, we've got
Daniel Fernandez,
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.